Welcome. Welcome to this special space show program in which we are going to be with the Rosetta spacecraft as it does a rendezvous with Comet 67P. Now, this is the first time that this has ever been done, and we are going to be trying to link in a few moments to the European Space Operations Control Center in Darmstadt, Germany, and provided all the links work between here and Europe, we'll be hearing the speeches and things, and then keep you up to date with the actual rendezvous burn, and then hopefully hear about some of the new science findings that the spacecraft has made on its way to the comet. So just while we're waiting for that to start, we will run through a few of the things here. You are listening to 88.3 Southern FM, and I'm Andrew Rennie, and this is The Space Show, which is presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. And with a bit of luck, yes, our link has worked, and they're 1 minute away from starting the function, and we'll just keep the sound there and pick it up when it comes through. So this is a Rosetta spacecraft which has been on track to get there, and we've been playing this little thing here about the spacecraft for some time. Let's have a listen to that.
Rosetta, are we there yet? 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 Rosetta, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
So tonight, history will be made. The European Space Agency, with a bit of Australian help, will attempt to place its Rosetta spacecraft into a rendezvous station keeping position just 100 kilometres from Comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. And this will be the first in the history to do so. Now, they've just started the function at the Space Agency.
Are we there yet? We all will be there. And we will see live, either at home at our screens or here at the European Space Operations Center in Darmstadt, the arrival of Rosetta. And this, of course, will be the decisive moment. But we have other program highlights lined up for you as well. There is the science. We will present the latest science of Rosetta. We will show you the latest images taken just a few days ago. There will be a rival movie where you can see how the nucleus was growing bigger and bigger in the navigation camera. And as we speak, we take another image. It will be downloaded now. Hopefully we can process it in time and we will show it to you in the afternoon. That means that's what Rosetta will see now when it's going to arrive. We have been inviting lots of experts and scientists to talk to you, and please talk to my colleagues of the media relations team. They will be happy to help you to make the connection. But now, before we start into the program, I would like to invite Thomas Reiter, the Director of Human Spaceflight and Operations, for a welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real great pleasure for me to welcome you today here at the European Space Operations Center, ESOC in Darmstadt. It's about half a year ago that we gathered in this place to witness the so-called awakening of Rosetta. After more than 2.5 years of hibernation, Rosetta, our European comet chaser. Traveling about 10 years through our solar system, Rosetta got ready to prepare for the rendezvous with the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko. And today, Rosetta has reached its destination. Now, before you will hear some more details about this exciting mission, please allow me to welcome some of our representatives of the federal and state government, local administration and ESA member states. Representing the federal government of Germany, I welcome Undersecretary of State Ms. Zypries. Representing the government of the state of Hessen, welcome to the Undersecretary of State Mr. Ingmar Jung. From the federal parliament, I welcome Mr. Wilsch. From the Hessen parliament, I welcome Ms. Karin Wolf. And from the town of Darmstadt, I welcome our Lord Mayor, Mr. Partsch. Furthermore, we have with us today the heads of agencies from five of our member states. From the Austrian Agency of Aerospace, I welcome Dr. Harald Posch, who is also the chairman of the ESA Council. From the French space agency CNES, I welcome Jean-Yves Le Gall. From the Italian space agency ASI, I welcome Professor Roberto Battiston. From the space agency of the United Kingdom, a welcome to Dr. David Parker. And from the German space agency DLR, I welcome Professor Johann Dietrich Werner. Also, a cordial welcome to all representatives from the scientific community, the representatives from European space industry. There are 50 companies across 14 European states who are involved in this program, and representing all them, I welcome prime contractor of Airbus Defence and Space, who is represented by Mr. Eckhard Settelmeier. Also, a welcome to all colleagues from media who share the excitement for spaceflight with us, and of course my colleagues from ESA, our Director General Jean-Jacques Dordain, our Director for Earth Observation Program Volker Liebig, and Professor Alvaro Jimenez, the ESA Director for Science and Robotic Exploration. Alvaro Jimenez will give you some more details on this exciting and challenging part of the Rosetta mission. Now, overall, the journey of Rosetta took actually longer than 10 years of traveling through space, as you can imagine. First thoughts about sending a probe to a comet goes back to as far as the middle of the 80s in the last century. The development of Rosetta started roughly 10 years later in the 90s, leading to a launch of the spacecraft on the 2nd of March 2004 on top of an Ariane 5 rocket from ESA's launch site in Kourou in French Guiana. And from this site, we also launched, by the way, last week, the fifth and last ATV, Advanced Transport Vehicle, automated transport vehicle to the International Space Station, which is now on its way to International Space Station and will dock actually on the 12th next week. Coming back to Rosetta, now considering these time scales, first thoughts started in the 80s, development in the 90s of the last decade, it becomes readily apparent that the colleagues sitting at the consoles today and who are in charge of operating the missions are certainly not the same who were involved in the early parts of the mission, namely its development. This is quite typical for space missions, and here a crucial question arises. How to transfer this knowledge from one generation of space engineers to the next? Now, ESA has proven in the past that it was standing up to this challenge. More than 60 ESA satellites successfully operated here in ESOC bear convincing witness of this fact. The successes we celebrate today follow a long tradition, and this is really the key point, depend on daring decisions which have to be taken, which have been taken in the past, and often more than one or two decades ago. Likewise, the successes of tomorrow depend on the decisions we are taking today. Stay tuned in the coming months when we will hear more and more exciting findings from Rosetta. With these thoughts, I would like to hand over now to our Director General, Jean-Jacques Dordain. Thank you very much.
Thomas Leiter, the Director of Human Space Flight and Operations, and allow me a short introductory moderation.
Thomas was already in training when Rosetta was launched, 2nd of March 2004. He kept on training when the first flyby took place on Earth. There were some concerns it might fail, but of course it didn't. Rosetta just passed 2,000 kilometers above our heads, about Earth, and we got brilliant images from Earth, and that was already a hint what Rosetta would be able to do later on. But what I wanted to say is Jean-Jacques Dardanne was already Director General of the European Space Agency in 2004, so he saw the launch, the three flybys in 2005, 2007, 2009 at Earth. Therefore, welcome Jean-Jacques Dardanne, please.
Thank you very much, and welcome to ESOC, which is one of the most important centers of ESA. And for another important event, I must say I am always at ESOC for important events. And but today it's an important milestone of the Rosetta mission. This is a rendezvous with a comet, with the last boost of the series of 10, which has taken place since the 20th of January. Because we were here, at least some of us, and especially Thomas and myself, and there are pictures of our smiles, more than smiles, I must say, when we got the signal of Rosetta. And this is before the next important event, which will be the landing of Philae on the comet 67P. I am less gifted than Thomas to give to name Ukrainian name, so it's I keep 67P, which is much easier. But we shall land on that comet on the 11th of November. So it makes 2014 the year of Rosetta. This is very clear. So as Thomas said, Rosetta was designed more than 20 years ago and launched 10 years ago on the 2nd of March 2004. I must say that it was a difficult decision to launch Rosetta, because it was after a failure of Ariane 5, and I remember with Jean-Yves Le Gall, who was at Ariane Espace at that time, that it took some time to decide to launch Rosetta, but we made it, and it was a beautiful launch. But 20 years later, Rosetta is still a unique mission, and will stay for very long a unique mission. Unique by its scientific goal, understanding our origins, which is certainly the best way to understand our future. So we shall look, the scientists will look at our origins. And for that, there are 11 scientific instruments on board the orbiter and 10 scientific instruments on board the lander, which is a lot of data which will be collected. It's unique also by its technology challenges, because to make scientific progress, you cannot make scientific progress without technology progress and without taking the risk of innovation. And we have taken a lot of risk by designing Rosetta. First of all, by the duration of the of its travel, 10 years, 4 gravitation kicks, 3 gravitation kicks using planet Earth and 1 kick using Mars to give the speed of 55,000 kilometers per hour, meaning that we are using the planets also as propulsion system, which is an interesting way to use the planets. But also by the harshness of its travel, we went beyond Jupiter, where it was very cold, and in spite of the large solar panels, as you can see, we have tried to give some power to Rosetta, but it was so cold beyond Jupiter that we have decided to put Rosetta in hibernation for 31 months, meaning that for 31 months we had no news from Rosetta. But she wake up on the 20th of January, with some delays, unfortunately, but which has reinforced our pleasure, I must say. but also unique by the accuracy of its navigation. Today, the boost will take place at 400 millions of kilometers, somewhere between Jupiter and Mars, with a spacecraft which is running at 55,000 kilometers per hour, demonstrating once more that the ESOC, this is the best drivers of the world. I have said that many times, but the best drivers of the world are here at ESOC. And as Thomas was saying, the persons changed at ESA, and even the director general will change soon. But the persons changed because the missions are long enough to have persons changing. But the people of ESA stays the same. They are still the best experts. And that this is thanks to the transmission from one generation to the next one. And I am glad to see Manfred here with us today. I must say that Manfred is not anymore operational, but he is still very active. And I would like to thank you, Manfred, to be with us also today. So Rosetta is another demonstration of the uniqueness of the scientific program of ESA. Because the science program of ESA is the oldest program of ESA. It's 50 years. We are celebrating today 50 years of ESA, this year 50 years of ESA, and it's 50 years that the science program exists. And the science program is 50 years of innovation and 50 years of cooperation. It's cooperation among all member states. This is one of the very few programs where all member states are together. It's today 20 member states working together. But it's not only cooperation among all ESA member states, but it's also cooperation between ESA and the national agencies. Most of the instruments are coming from the national agencies. And the lander filet is also a product coming from the national agencies. And I am glad that all the heads of national agencies, which are today, they are not only the shareholders of ESA, but they are also the partners of ESA. And that is a demonstration of what means cooperation at ESA. But it's also 50 years of innovation, which has put ESA at the forefront of the progress of knowledge. Because today we are celebrating Rosetta, but we had Huygens in the same room when we landed on Titan. We had the first image of the fossil light coming from Planck. Today it's Rosetta, and I would not like to forget Giotto, which was our first encounterer with a comet. So all the history of ESA is made of scientific discoveries and unique discoveries that nobody has done before ESA. So ESA is everywhere in the solar system. We are orbiting around Mars, around Venus. We have landed on the moon. Maybe it was a little bit harsh. We have landed on Titan. That this is for sure. We shall go to Mercury, and meaning that we are everywhere on the solar system, and this is the best way to better understand planet Earth, because what is at stake is the future of planet Earth. So today is just a milestone in the Rosetta mission, an important milestone, obviously. But there is much more to come, much more to come. Not only the landing of Philae, but even much more, the science will come. We shall start to collect scientific data, and this scientific data will be provided to the scientific communities, meaning that they are the ones to make the understanding. We are just providing data. The scientists will make the work, and I am sure that the scientific data that we shall collect will give them for decades of work. So I wish bon courage to all the scientists which are today waiting for the data. So I would like to say yes, as Thomas was saying, the summer at ESA will be very hot. Last week we have launched the ATV Georges Lemaître. Next week Georges Lemaître will dock to the International Space Station. 1 week later we shall launch two satellites of Galileo. So meaning that the August will be an interesting month for us, without speaking of some activities to prepare the next council at ministerial level. But today let's concentrate on the event of Rosetta. Enjoy it, because this is your only chance to have a rendezvous with a comet. Thank you very much.
On 88.3 Southern FM, we are broadcasting from the European Space Operations Centre in Darmstadt, Germany, the arrival of Rosetta at the Comet 67P.
The fourth one was at Mars, and it was called the Eurobillion Gamble. So why was that? Well, because the spacecraft went behind Mars, and there's no radio communication, so it's just out of control to a certain extent, and that was in the most critical moment, 250 kilometers above the surface of the red planet. But after 15 minutes, Rosetta came around Mars, perfect shape, got exactly the momentum it needed for the other thousands of millions of kilometers. And it also brought, again, nice images back from Mars, and we understood that the cameras are really doing a brilliant job. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest was at that time the Minister of Justice in Germany. Today she's coordinating the German aerospace policy. Please welcome with me Parliamentary State Secretary at the Federal Ministry of Economic Affairs and Energy, Brigitte Tsipras.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the opportunity to be part at this arrival at the comet or the rendezvous with the planet. I'm very pleased to be here, and since we've heard by Mr. Reiter and Jean-Jacques Dordain everything about the mission, I think it's my part as a politician to say thank you. Thank you to ESA, and thank you to all the scientificians working at ESA and having in the 80s this brilliant idea of how can we go to the space and figure out all that what we are going to see now. So thank you for the former ones, and thank you for the ones today taking care of Rosetta. And I would like to say thank you as well to the people doing your Öffentlichkeitsarbeit. Because I think what you do with the social network, this Wake Up Rosetta and these things for today is a really good thing to interest young people in space and interest young people for working with mathematics and technologies. And that's what we need to continue. So thank you for that. Jetzt könnt ihr mal klatschen. Second, I would like to explain that the 300 million Germany spent in this event is really good spent money. You mentioned, Jean-Jacques Dordain, that there are 20 countries working together in ESA, and everyone paid his part. Germany paid 300 million, and as I explained today to the press as well, it's very good put money, because we need the people looking for new ideas and see what we can get from the space and to get it down to Earth and learn for our life on Earth from space. So I think that's a very good idea, and I hope that there are scientificians today which get the ideas of what we can launch in 10 years. So, okay, I know that this is just one event today, and we are going to meet again in November. And I keep my fingers crossed that it's going to work out today, and especially in November, because after I saw the first pictures of the comet, I thought it looks like a misspelled potato, but not like a comet where it's easy to land. So it's going to be a very hard job for you, I suppose, and I wish you all good luck.
This is the Space Show, broadcasting live from Darmstadt, Germany, the European Space Operations Control Center, where they are about to put Rosetta into the beginning of orbital maneuvers to go into orbit around the comet I would like Jerry Umar, Jerry Semenko.
Model of the Rosetta orbiter, and I hope
perfect.
That you will remember that. Very important.
And at the moment, Jean-Jacques Dordain is presenting the German minister with a model of the Rosetta spacecraft. This is, as I said, coming live here on the extended space show. We began at 6 o'clock this evening, going through until 8, bringing you live the events happening at the European Space Operations Control Center in Darmstadt, Germany. The minister is now holding her model up. Gee, I'd love to have one of those. Please give me one. Anyway, this is, as I said, Southern FM and a space show special.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Brigitte Tsipras, the space coordinator in Germany. Now, we learned already that the trajectory of Rosetta was really a difficult and complex one. We had 3 flybys at Earth and we had 1 at Mars. And even more, those trajectories were calculated in the way that we could visit 2 asteroids. And the first one we visited in 2008 was called Steins. And Rosetta flew by at a distance of around 800 kilometers and took stunning images of this diamond-shaped asteroid. And by the way, Rosetta became the first spacecraft to come close to an E-type asteroid. That's one that has more silicate than iron. It's a difference towards all the others. And this happened in September 2008, and Jan-Dietrich Werner was already the chairman of the board of the German Aerospace Center, DLR. And as we heard, DLR is heavily involved in Rosetta, and therefore I would like you to give him a warm welcome, Jan-Dietrich Werner from DLR.
DLR is the German Aerospace Agency.
It's also a very special pleasure and honor to be here and to talk a little bit about Rosetta. Rosetta is, of course, a very important milestone for the European space activities. And if we look to space and what we are doing at DLR, we are always looking to what are the grand challenges for today and for tomorrow. You might have your special priority of all these challenges. And there is one very special challenge on the very last line, and this is curiosity. Curiosity is the most important challenge to be communicated, because if children are curious, we are happy, we are proud. If they get older, we call them scientists. And this is a very special understanding about curiosity. And I know that, especially for politicians, it's not that easy always to convince parliamentarians to spend a lot of money for all of these activities. So, because all of us are discussing about the Rosetta mission, I would like to look a little bit back in history, even further than only the 10 or 20 years, the launch and the development, to Rosetta. What was Rosetta really? Rosetta was a stone, or is a stone, and this stone is a decree in 3 different languages. So it's a dictionary, a very special dictionary, which gave us some information about how to understand hieroglyphs and others. And so therefore Rosetta, the Rosetta mission, driven by ESA, is a very special mission to understand different things. And at the same time, we are discussing about Philae. Philae, the lander, and this name comes from the island of time, and there is an obelisk which helped us to understand, not us, but our predecessors, to understand also what is on the Rosetta Stone. So there is a strong link between Philae and Rosetta, not only for our mission. Now I would like to make a short travel in time with you. And the challenge is that you should think about the time from the Big Bang to today in just 1 year. So consider these 13.7 billion of years is condensed to 1 year. So on the 1st of January, there is a Big Bang. And the time scale is that about 100 years is about 0.23 seconds. So for the politicians, I give you an information what that means in your understanding. It's about 0.009 seconds for a legislative period. So not that long with regard to the time from the Big Bang to today. Now, if we look into the time scale in the agenda, there is the formation of Sun and Earth on the 9th of September. Afterwards, several activities happened. I will not go into all the details, but on 5.1 seconds before midnight of that year, starting with Big Bang at the very first day and the 31st of December midnight today. There is just 5.1 second before midnight the stone of Rosetta was produced. So it's before Jesus Christ. And it's before the birthday of Isa. Birthday of Isa is 0.11 seconds before midnight. Then we have 0.02 seconds before midnight, launch of Rosetta with an Ariane 5, I have to say that. It was a very important mission. Now we are at the 31st December, 24 hours today. And there's another important aspect which comes 0.001 second later. This is the landing of Philae kissing of Philae with the comet, whatever you call it. Churyumov Gerasimenko is so small. To have a landing is a difficult work, maybe a rendezvous and kissing. Okay, so we heard already that this is an ESA mission. And as Jean-Jacques pointed out, it's an ESA mission of all the different member states, which is really what ESA is, all the different member states. And Jean-Jacques also pointed out that the other member states are participating and the agencies are here, and they are not only participating, they are very, very proud about it. For instance, Germany, that we can lead the international consortium for Philae. But also, I looked into the internet, and it's very easy. If you look to CNES, Rosetta is there. If you look to ASI, Rosetta is there. If you look to NASA, which is not European, not yet, NASA, it's also there. It's also proud about Rosetta. So all the different member states, the agencies are proud, and there are much more than just the agencies, scientists from different institutions, but also, of course, DLR is proud to be part of it, especially because of Philae. So you see there is this understanding that ESA is not just an agency doing some work for the different member states, but ESA is an agency working with the member states, and the member states are working with ESA. Now, I showed you that the history is a long time, and that Rosetta is giving us some information about the history, maybe also the future of our universe, or at least our solar system. As I mentioned, this is a little bit out of the time scale of politicians, a little bit. But I can give you also something, and Madame Tsipras also said it, that we should see what comes down to Earth from all these scientific endeavors. And there's one very concrete result we have already from Rosetta, and this is transfer to an earthly application. One of the sensors on board is now used to as an early fire detection system, and not only one, but 160 are installed in Brandenburg, close to Berlin, to discover very early, any type of forest fire. So you see, we have everything. We have the long-term aspect of Rosetta. We have also a short-term. We have the international and European aspect of Rosetta. So Rosetta is for sure one of the key milestones of ESA and space in Europe. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jan-Dietrich Werner from DLR. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a second asteroid on the way called Lutetia, and that was really an extraordinary flyby. We came as close as 3 kilometers and at a speed of 45,000 kilometers per hour, and even more at a distance of 450 million kilometers.
We're listening to a special from from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock here on 88.3 Solid FM. And we're broadcasting live from the European Space Operations Centre in Darmstadt, Germany, where the Rosetta spacecraft now is just 27 minutes away from making that final firing that will bring it into rendezvous with the comet.
These are member states in NASA, and one of the main European contributors is the French space agency CNES. Please welcome with me Jean-Yves Le Gall, the president of CNES.
So thank you, dear State Secretary Brigitte Tsipras, dear Jean-Jacques Dordain, dear Jan Werner, dear Roberto Battiston, dear David Parker, I probably forget some other friends, but so dear friends. Today, in fact, is the end of the beginning of the science mission. And at the We saw it. We had a perfect launch by Ariane 5 in 2004. And as Jean-Jacques said, I was at this time in Ariane Space. And it was probably, I can say, the most important launch in my life, because it was a very tough period. We had a problem on Ariane 5 in 2002. And we were supposed to launch Rosetta in early 2003. I think that the launch date was planned to be on the 6th of January 2003. And we had to decide between Christmas and New Year's Day to postpone the launch and to go to the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko instead of the comet Westphalen. And if Rosetta had been finally launched to Westphalen, the encounter would have taken place in 2010, and because of this postponement, we are now in 2014. And in fact, for me, I should confess that I like comets. I love comets. And my first rendezvous was with the comet Halley. And I can remember because we launched it with Ariane a long time ago. It was the 2nd of July 1995. For me, it was my first Ariane launch. And the encounter with the comet Halley appeared, in fact, on the 13th of March 1986. And in France, we organized what was so called the Night of a Comet. And it was a very special period because, as Jean-Jacques says, we have some changes. And at this time in France, there was a big change in the government. The governments also are changing. But we had a very special night. It was in Cité de la Science, which is today chaired by Claudie Agnoret, another friend of space. And it was a really, really impressive night. But unfortunately, as you know, Giotto had a very quick encounter with the nucleus of the comet Halley. It took a few seconds. And already at this time, we started to speak about Rosetta. And I dreamed about the day when we will have a much longer encounter. And today, the dream is going to be alive because of this rendezvous with this comet. And so this rendezvous will occur after a cruising of 10 years. And this arrival phase, in fact, is the most complex and exotic trajectory we have ever seen. And I want to thank myself also the outstanding work of the ESOC team, because of you, Rosetta completed a very surprising spiral formed of triangles to arrive slowly and safely at the already active and until now unknown object. And I should say that now that I am in CNES, we are very proud to be involved in this 20-year project. We have contributed to several instruments, among them the radar developed in Grenoble. I quote Grenoble because, as you probably know, this is the hometown of my minister, Mrs. Fiorazzo, and I am sure that she's looking at us, so I think that is a good point to speak about Grenoble. Thank you, Mrs. Minister. But we have also the Landers cameras, which are built in Orsay, and they will image the landscape of a comet from its surface for the first time. But we were also closely involved in the development of the Philae lander, together with our friends from DLR, as Jan told us. And this lander, in fact, will have the incredible task of landing on the nucleus next November. I think that it will be on the 11th of November, and this year, 11th of November, will be known because of the landing of Philae, which is an excellent thing. We have also developed in Toulouse the Science Operation and Navigation Center, the SONC, to coordinate the 10 scientific instruments in line with scientific requirements and the lander resources. And we have also devised the automatic sequence that the lander and its instruments will perform during the descent and after landing on the comet, and we are in charge of mission analysis of Philae. So you see that a lot of work will be made in Rosetta everywhere in Europe, and in particular in France. And in France, we have a 20-strong team at CNES. And during the last two decades, we invested in Rosetta more than 215 million euros. And I can tell you that I consider that it is probably one of the best investments made by France and CNES in the field of space, because we are going to have, in fact, an extraordinary achievement with the landing of Philae and the encounter of Rosetta with the comet. And in total, we have more than 80 scientists who are involved in the mission from 17 laboratories. So I would like to congratulate all the teams of scientists and engineers for the work which has been accomplished up to now. And I wish a very, very great success for the mission, for Rosetta, for the landing of Philae, with a wealth of fine and very exciting scientific results. Once again, thank you and bravo.
On the space show, Southern FM. Thank you very
much, ladies and gentlemen, Jean-Yves Legal from CNES. Now, the comet comes into the inner solar system and we can visit it, but first we need to go out very, very far, and that means into the orbit of Jupiter, 800 million kilometers far out. And there, well, there's simply not enough sunlight to operate the spacecraft with the power needed, so even these huge 30-meter solar panels made out of gallium arsenide are not doing the job. What you do? Well, you switch the spacecraft off. And that's nothing a mission manager really wants to do. In fact, probably it's the nightmare of a mission manager to have a spacecraft in space, in orbit, and you have to switch it off. Well, after 31 months, it woke up again, and I can tell you the relief was really, really great in this room, and of course also at the Italian Space Agency. Please welcome with me Roberto Battiston from ASI.
Southern FM, we're broadcasting live from the European Space Operations Centre in Darmstadt, Germany.
Dear Undersecretary for Research and Science, Mrs. Tsipras, dear friends, Jean-Jacques, Jean-Yves, Jean, David, and most warmly, dear member of the ESO team and of the scientists which made Rosetta possible, I would like to stress this particular thanks because I'm a scientist and I spent also 20 years on a mission, so I understand you today, how much you must be proud of what you accomplished. So Rosetta is a mission of records. Getting there on top of the 10 years of travel and 20 years of preparation is like throwing a small grain of salt from Darmstadt to hit a given atom in Rome. It's impossible, and you made it. Italy has participated to this mission, and we are proud of having done so, as has been recalled before, because the investment done for this kind of science is really well done, provided we can get to this outstanding success and results. Italy, over this period of time, has invested about 100 million euro, counting the investment on the industrial side and the support for the scientists. But most important, it has contributed to a number of instruments which are essential for the operation, the approach, the measurement of the comet properties, the temperature, the dust around it, and to make eventually, after the landing, a drill inside the surface of the comet to understand what is behind the crust, the tiny crust of this comet. So I would like to thank today the colleague of the Institute of Astrophysics, Italian Institute of Astrophysics, INAF, from Rome, from Naples, the University of Milano, of Padua, which are the key player in the designing, running, contributing to the various instruments, which are called VIRTIS, SD2, JADA, WOC. These names may not mean so much to most of you, but they mean very much to the few of you which made this mission a reality. And on top of that, I have to thank Thales Alenia Space, which also contributed on the industrial side in a way which is so important. But as I was mentioned before, 20 years is a long time, and what we are collecting today is a testimony of ideas, decision, acts, scientific decision, which were made long ago. And I think it's very important today to recall one of the figures which made Rosetta a reality, Angioetta Corradini, which is not with us today, but is an example of how the testimony for science, for research, has been transferred to the people that are here today. I would like to recall her unstoppable activity, unshaking enthusiasm, and unrivaled intelligence. I think planetary science is really in debt to Angioetta very much, and I'd like to applaud her. We are today facing an example of what is called big science, global science. You know, I'm coming from large science in particle physics, and so I'm kind of used to that. But, you know, in fundamental research, there is always the idea maybe you can get some revolutionary result by making a very clever small experiment which can shortcut the difficulty on finding the law of nature. But with space exploration and planetary science, you cannot do that. There is no free lunch. You really have to go there. And this is why we need a large organization like ESA. We can do that only working together, only putting together the competence, the resources, but the people, the professional, the idea and the enthusiasm which can keep together teams of this quality for long enough to reach these goals. Rosetta is also in history of strength and capability to resist against difficulties. Not only natural difficulties, not only traveling far away and getting a small dot in the midst of nowhere. This is normal business for scientists and technologies, but most important to face against the unknown. I mean, the idea of landing on a comet was contemplated long ago, well before the birth of Rosetta, but failed because NASA eventually pulled out for such an enterprise for various reasons. So ESA had to proceed basically alone. And this is a demonstration how much this decision has been fruitful and most important has been showing the strength of Europe and the strength of the states working together. Another difficulty which has been really professionally and faced and solved has been the change of comet. Yeah, there are zillions of comets out there, but changing from one to the other is not something you can do it easily, and the team made it possible really in a short time with perfect result. So 20 years have gone, and let us the fun begin. Thank you so much.
The Space Show, broadcasting live from Darmstadt in Germany, where we are at the ceremony for the arrival of the Rosetta spacecraft at the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
Whether the last maneuver of Rosetta will be successful or not, and of course it will. I have no doubt about this, but it's time for me to say goodbye and to hand over into the main control room to my co-moderator, Monica Jones, who will report from there as things happen. And you can stay here and wait a little bit till we have been establishing the lines, and please cross your fingers for the biggest moment in the life of Rosetta, its arrival at Comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Thank you.
So this is Southern FM, 88.3 Southern FM at 6:49, and we are broadcasting live from Darmstadt, Germany, where quite a large audience is here, and they are now waiting for that link through to the actual operations control room. We're actually in the centre at the moment. Now, just while we're waiting for that, time to tell you. I think they're going into a promo now.
Rosetta, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Joining us here on Southern FM is Peter Arwood, who is the president of the Space Association of Australia. And Peter's got something to tell us.
Yes, Andrew, I thought the listeners would be interested to know. European Space Agency has a number of tracking stations around the world, one of which is in Western Australia. And the one in Western Australia, New Norcia, is the one that's actually tracking and receiving the data today as we speak. So
it's
a big part of Australia.
Thanks, Peter.
Again.
And we're here to witness this event and give
and
you
now into the control room.
Figures. So welcome to our special coverage coming live to you from ESOC in Darmstadt, Germany. I'm Monica Jones and I'm here in the main control room. Now, the last time I was inside this room was back in January, on the 20th of January, the day when Rosetta, after months of hibernation in deep space, woke up. As you can imagine, that day had quite a few tense moments, but in the end, well, see for yourself.
And we are broadcasting live from Southern FM, European Space Operations Centre. And at the moment, they are showing us what happened when the Rosetta spacecraft was woken up way back on January the 20th. And those were the cheers when they had that signal, first signal, after the spacecraft was woken up after sleeping for about 2 years.
Well, happy memories, certainly. Also for the gentleman who's standing right next to me, Paolo Ferri. He's ESA's head of operations sections. You've been part of the Rosetta mission right from the start. That was quite an emotional day back then, was it?
Well, the launch was an emotional day. We had many emotional days, and then we came to this wake up 10 years later. After 2.5 years, no signal. This was incredible. And, well, you've seen it also from the pictures.
Yeah, but of course, Rosetta is the story isn't over yet. We have another very exciting day today, a very complex maneuver, which I believe was initiated here, and you're in touch here all the time with Rosetta. How nervous are you today?
Compared to January, this is much better. The signal is there. Our people are in continuous contact with the probe, so we see that everything is going very well. So the tension is lower now. On the other hand, it is a very important moment. It's a milestone. We get there. We have arrived after more than 10 years trip. So emotionally, we are very excited.
And you should be, probably, because after 10 years, you've had to handle one or two challenges on the way. I remember there were some leaking gas tanks and stuff, but you sorted it all out.
Well, there were many challenges on the way. We had to do many things. Also, we have to learn to play with the spacecraft, as you do with many missions. Yes, there were also some hardware issues, that like the leak in the high-pressure side. And yes, over the 10 years, there was time to do tests on ground, to develop new procedures, new trajectories. And up to now, we've shown that all the work has paid off, and we are at the target with basically no main concern for the future.
And just briefly, because obviously all the work does not only include one generation of scientists, but this is a long-term mission. There are many generations. How do you ensure the transfer of know-how?
Well, first of all, Rosetta is such a unique and fascinating mission that people that have the temptation to go away, they always come back, like with the rubber band. Yeah. So we leave this. We have many people that maybe left the project for a while and came back, maybe in a different position. We were also lucky that around Rosetta we started two similar missions, similar from an operation point of view, interplanetary missions, Venus Express, Mars Express, and we could give career opportunities or little breaks to various people that could grow and then come back. So we have not lost that much expertise. Many people of the beginning are back. At the same time, we got new, fresh people, younger ones, motivated.
And one who is very motivated is standing right behind you, Paolo, if I may interrupt you at this point. Thank you very much. Good to see you again. Let me bring in Matt Taylor right now, who, of course, is ESA's Rosetta Project scientist. Come a bit closer. Again, just like in January, I've got a shorter arm here. So you coordinate the science between ESA and the Rosetta scientists. Now, how is science shaping up so far?
Science is shaping up wonderfully and very quickly, but that's to be expected because Rosetta is the sexiest science mission, the sexiest space mission that's ever been. Around 7th of May this year, we started our science operations. At that time, we were about 1.5 million kilometres away from the comet. At that time, only OSIRIS, our scientific eye, could see the comet and started to infer what we're starting to see now, that something special was happening. Subsequently, we've seen MIRO, the submillimeter spectrometer that looks at that particular wavelength of light, reveal some outgassing activity. And then more recently, VIRTIS is starting to reveal activity or temperature around the nucleus.
And we'll hear a bit more about these instruments. Of course, back in January, you promised that we're going to do groundbreaking science. And you obviously started already, even though Rosetta was miles away. Now we're much closer to the comet. What can we expect?
Yeah, well, MIRO, VIRTIS, all of the instruments are still banging on. They're still giving us fantastic science as we creep closer and closer to the comet. And that's important. As we get closer, the range decreases, and then we come into range of some of the other instruments. We've seen evidence of the outgassing of the coma, so the outer atmosphere of the comet developing. This is made of dust and gas. We have instruments on board that will start sniffing for this gas. So the gas detectors will sniff and taste the gas. We'll also be collecting some of this dust, catching this dust and touching the coma itself. Hopefully that will actually occur sometime this week, so everything's just about there. Now, as this coma develops and starts to flow away from the nucleus, it'll start to impinge on the outer atmosphere of the sun itself, the solar wind. We have a plasma package on Rosetta that's trying to investigate that interaction. At the moment, they've only really seen pristine solar wind, but there may be some indications, little wiggles there that indicate that the comet's in their signal as well.
And why are these measurements important right now?
They're fundamentally important. They set a baseline for the rest of the mission scientifically, but also in the short term, we have a task to do. We want to characterize the nucleus, the comet, the activity, to try and set up and start the process of deciding where to land in November. That's basically the fundamental thing that we're doing at the moment. In addition, we have an activity group. These guys are cometary experts, instrument specialists. They're also backed up by my colleagues here at ESOC, but also the SGS down in ESAC in Madrid, the Science Ground segment, who are helping us, trying to look at how the activity is working at the moment and then project what we think it's going to be doing after the landing in November. That's important to constrain how the scientific operations are going to be done in that time frame, and that's a fun task.
So a lot of busy people, a busy time ahead. What can we look forward to in the months to come?
Well, you know, once we've got the rendezvous done, we're going to ride alongside this comet. We're going to have a ringside seat as we go from this rather inert object now through perihelion. That's the closest approach to the sun next year in summer. And as it starts to move away from the sun, that gives us this ringside seat of this evolution, this dynamic evolution, this fantastic body. It's going to be an awesome ride. Stay tuned.
We certainly will. Matt Taylor, thank you very much best of luck today. And of course, Rosetta has many instruments on board, also a navigation camera. And Frank Budnick is the flight dynamic expert, and he's here with us because Rosetta's navigation camera has collected quite a few interesting images. It's a bit like Rosetta's eye that allows us and everybody here in the main control room, of course, to get a glimpse at what Rosetta is seeing as it approaches the comet. And I think we've prepared something. You can talk us through a bit.
Yeah, okay. This is the what we see is the latest images of the comet as seen from the navigation camera, which starts last Friday when we started hourly images. And from then onward, we're at a distance of about 1,000 kilometers. And we see very clearly how we get closer and closer. We did more maneuver in the meantime. And the latest image in the sequence is at a distance of about a bit more than 100 kilometers, which is actually from this morning. Mm-hmm. So this series of images we take for navigating, for computing the maneuver commands, and the start of these images were actually used to compute the maneuver parameters for today's maneuver.
And of course, about this maneuver, you will tell us much more about later. Frank, thank you very much for now. We'll catch up with you in just a few moments' time. But as I can see, the clock is ticking, and we're just a minute away from this maneuver that is taking place there on board Rosetta. I'm here with the spacecraft operations manager, Sylvain Laudio, an exciting exciting moment. What's the status? Are we ready to go?
So we're go for the maneuver. We don't have contact with the spacecraft right now. The spacecraft is slewing to the altitude of the maneuver, which is expected. The Huygens antenna cannot point to Earth right now, but we're go for the maneuver, and the last telemetry is about 45 minutes old now, and everything was nominal.
Mm-hmm. So how long will this maneuver take, which is about to start in less than 30 seconds, briefly?
So 6 minutes 26, and it's about to start on board. We have to wait 22 minutes to get the results on ground, of course.
Okay, Sylvain, I'll catch up with you. Let's keep an eye on the clock now.
12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fire. Okay, the thruster should now be firing. 2 seconds, 3 seconds.
All right. Now, we couldn't see a thing that's going on apart from the clock going. And what's going on?
Well, nominally, the manoeuvre has started on board now. And, okay, we have to see.
Okay.
And just wait for the telemetry.
Okay, that's part of your job, of course, Sylvain. Thank you very much. We'll be catching up with you later again, of course, as well.